Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's look here for a few minutes. In verses 10 through 11. Romans 8, 10 through 11. The Bible says, "And if Christ be in you, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Just the same old thing, just over and over and over. Alive from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and so do we. And it's not something that's just going to happen in the far distant future somewhere, unknown point. It happens when we're saved. We're risen from the dead. Yes, sir. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the gospel and the word of God. Please bless this now, and I pray you would help us to understand this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, when a person is born again in the Spirit of God, he's risen from the dead and made alive. We're quickened together with Christ. That means made alive. That means you're dead, but you're made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're alive in Christ. That's a big deal. There's a big difference between being dead and being alive.
Yes, sir.
Big difference. Changes everything. I mean, it just... Yes, it does. In his sin, I can go on and on about that, you know. When something's dead, it stinks. Y'all mentioned the squirrel back there. Mm-hmm. We know that's a fact. In this sinful state, he's unaware that he's not alive. That's the thing. You don't know that you're dead. That's kind of a strange thing, not to know that you're dead. Dead people don't know they're dead. You're unaware. You got to be alive before you understand anything, know anything, aware of anything around you. See, you're alive in the flesh. But the verse before this, where I started reading, it says, "You are not in the flesh." He's talking about saved people. You know, we talked last week about the difference and the comparison. And this whole thing in Romans is about dividing us into these two groups. Those that are alive, those that are dead. Those that are in the flesh, and those that are walking in the Spirit. You're either dead in your sins and dead living in the flesh. That's death. The carnal mind is death. Yeah, to be carnally minded is death. To live after the flesh, it's death, see? You're dead. You're dead. Dead to God. What he considers, he's oblivious to the spiritual realm and eternal things. In a sinful state, you're unaware that you're not alive to spiritual. See, that's the problem. When you're lost in your sin, you're not saved, your lights are out, you're in darkness, you don't see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't understand. You don't understand there's a whole universe that you don't know about. A whole realm of life that you don't even know exists. It's like a fairy tale to you. It's like Santa Claus. Mercy, I seen the other day where somebody was praying to Santa Claus. Yeah. Somebody's supposed to be a Christian too. I know them. You probably know them too. "Please, dear Santa, please help so-and-so to feel better for Christmas." You know, my soul. Don't pray to Santa Claus. You might as well pray to a stump or a rock. He's a lie. He's a fake. It ain't real. I don't care where you see him at. It's a phony and a fake. You change those letters around, just two letters, and you got Satan. Do you ever notice that? People having trouble, they back. You start lying, and then you get in a terrible deal. You know, we saw another day, these people are complaining because Santa Claus is bringing all these high-dollar items to some kids, and some kids don't get that stuff. So why is Santa mean to them, see? They're pleading with people, "Don't tell your kids that Santa brought those high-priced gifts. Just Tell them that Santa brings those cheap gifts and you got them the expensive gifts. That's what they said. That's how you fix that problem. Don't just come clean and quit telling lies like that to your children. Just keep a lie. Just keep on a lie and cover it with another lie. But he's oblivious to the spiritual realm and eternal things. That's the way it is when we're lost. And when what he considers life is really a state of death. Think about that a minute. This life in this world that everybody talks about, you know, some people think it's wonderful and a lot of people think it's awful. And they end up taking their own life. They end up just, life is a misery to them. And they just struggle all the way through it. It's a state of death. That's what it is. It really is. But they call it life. Earthly life. That's all they know. That's all they know. Do you ever think about that? I do. I wonder how in the world could I live if I really believed that this was all there was. This life only? I'm most man all miserable. I'm most miserable. Yeah. Death's inevitable. And so it blackens all the hopes and plans of any person who honestly thinks about things. Earthly life exists under the constant shadow and the threat of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. See? One of the things that will help you to understand and get to seeking after God is to realize that this life here is death. It's going to end in death. For certain. It's born and man wants to die. But after this, the judgment. It isn't until he's born of the Spirit and brought over onto the other side that he realizes what his former state really was. John Newton could have never have written Amazing Grace when he was on the other side. That's in the light. That's after you get in the light. That you see, you can say, I was lost, but now I'm found. You can't say, I was blind, and now I see, until you can see. Until you can see, you think you can see already. You don't realize there's a whole bunch you're not seeing and not understanding. So it isn't until we're born of the Spirit that we can see and understand. Then he looks at those who are still there, and his concept of their situation also changes. When you look back at people who are still on the other side, still in darkness, still trying to live their life like this guy you just talking about, Seth, it changes your whole thoughts about them. They're lost. They're living in death and darkness. They don't see. They don't understand. You know, we, once we're born again and the Spirit of God comes in us and we start learning the Word of God, the lights come on and we understand things. And a lot of times that's one of our problems, is we forget that they do not understand. They don't understand. That's how come they can keep on living in their fornication and adultery and their drunkenness and their dope and their profanity and all of that. That's how they can do it. They do not understand. They do not see. It just doesn't occur to them. They never think about the things that we think about. And if they try to, they're just totally at a loss of any way to put it all together. They don't understand. They're in darkness. And that's a burden to those who are in the light. But the Spirit is life. It says there, he realizes for the first time what it's really like to be truly alive. When a person really gets saved, it's just like, that's why so many are so happy in the beginning, because it is just, and it gets better as it goes along. If it's the real thing, it's not just a big explosion and a lot of light and then fades down to nothing. That ain't how it works. The light of the judge shineth brighter and brighter.
That's right.
The path of the judge shineth brighter and brighter until that day. So it gets better and better. But he realizes what it's like to really be alive unto God. And there's a whole realm that opens up that wasn't there before, that you didn't see. It was there, but you didn't see it. You didn't know about it. You didn't understand it. You watched other people that knew about it, but you didn't understand. You thought they were crazy. You thought they were just foolish, weak-minded, needed that stuff. But when you really get born again, the whole light of God just lightens everything. Everything just comes to life. It's really that way. And then to realize that it's forever, that even makes it even more wonderful. This is not just an experience I'm going through. This is not just something that, a stage. This is it, man. This is forever. Eternal life. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and better and better the farther I go, and forever and ever. That's wonderful. It ain't like what I had before, because it was diminishing every day. Every year I got weaker. Every year I got more pain, more suffering. It got darker all the time. Now it's going the other direction. To see everything in the new light of God makes all things new. He makes all things new. That's what happens, yeah, in your life. To experience life under the influence of God's Spirit is a completely different existence than to simply be in the flesh. It's a different existence. We've let it all go. See, this time that we're living in, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Got religion, got churchiness, we got this stuff that we, these little sayings and things we say about Jesus and the blood and all of that, but there's no reality anymore to people's Christianity. This is foreign to most people now, most modern Christians. They think, well, what's he, is he out of his mind or something? What's he doing, eating mushrooms or something before he comes to church? I mean, what is this? This, they think this is life in the flesh. You know, life in the flesh is all there is. This earth. I mean, you better enjoy it. Go to the beach. I mean, go somewhere. Look at everything, because this is it. Don't ever think about heaven. Don't ever think about eternity. And they don't ever think about the spiritual realm that is forever. As John Newton wrote so long ago, I was blind, but now I see. You ever think of what all was in his mind when he said that? He summed it up into a few little words, a whole bunch. Now, a person who's truly saved really feels that they just started living when they got saved. Now, that I really do feel that way. It's just, you know, it really is. I mean, it was just such a change in everything. That, I mean, that's just like when I first saw the light. Yeah. And I can remember that. I don't remember when I first saw the light when I was born of the flesh. But I do remember when I saw the light. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 11, all right, your mortal body. What is that? What the mortal body? That's your body of flesh you're sitting in right now. It's those eyes you're looking through. It's those hands that are on your lap or you're picking your nose with or whatever you're doing with them. You know, your mortal bodies. Now, what did it say? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. All right, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now you need to think about that. And you need to listen to what I'm going to say here. Quicken means to make alive. Now we're not talking about the soul here. We're talking about your body.
Right.
This may be interpreted to apply to the future resurrection, but it's much more than that. It's much more than that. Obviously, there's more to it than pie in the sky by and by. One of these days, someday in the future, God's going to quicken your mortal body. Well, no, it's going to be, there's an application of it right now. The effects of salvation produce results in your physical body also. I've lived long enough and watched enough people to get saved to tell you this is right. Did you ever see anybody get saved who was wasted and watch them as their body recovered from it all? And their countenance changed? And their health was restored? And their mind was restored? Did you ever see anything like that? Yeah. Oh, I have. Yes, sir. He'll quicken your mortal body. I've known people, I've read about people who were right on the brink of death when they were saved. And I mean, their body was wasted. And God restored them. The effects of salvation produce results in your physical body. Now, you think just a diet or a change of diet or some pills or surgery or something like that can affect your body? Why in the world would you not think that a total new life inside your body wouldn't affect your body? I mean, the tenant is completely reborn. The one living in there. The one making all the choices about everything. The one that's abused that body for all this lifetime and used it, no matter what it did to it, for their own pleasure. He has been changed. And now he's going to honor this body. He's going to cherish this body and keep it fit for the Master's use. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And he cares about that now. Before, he didn't care about it. He treated, you understand what I'm talking about? He, the one that lives inside this body. You who live inside your body. Before he saved, he treated that body just like some people treat their old car or truck. Mm-hmm. We saw him about it a while ago. Guy hauling us logs. He started hauling in there this little old truck. They ain't even his. But it didn't have no dents in it when he started, did it? It looked pretty decent. You know, a little old truck. You ought to see it now. It looks like somebody has just, like a giant's just been a stomping on it and kicking it all the way around it. Did you ever see anybody do that? I mean, I've seen people get a car and before long they ain't got no hubcaps. Window's knocked out and they got a plastic bag over it. No matter what happens, they don't fix it. If something falls off, they just let her go. They'll just run up and down creek beds over rocks, down the ditch line. It don't make no difference. Just bam, bam, slam, slam, just whatever it takes. There was a family in Virginia. We laughed at them all the time because that's the way they did. I mean, if it quit on them, they just rolled her off the side and pulled the plates and got a ride home. Get another one. Y'all know who I'm talking about. And that's the way people treat their body when they're living in death. It's just a thing that they use without any thought soever what's going to happen to it, what the results, the consequences of it. They smoke until they ruin their lungs. They drink until they ruin their liver and the rest of their life. There's more effects from drinking than a liver, I'll tell you that for sure. They just beat and bang and you know, fight and break their bones and do all kinds of things. Eat trash until they ruin their health that way. It just don't matter to them. They just run her in the ground. But after they're saved, it's a different story, see? For one thing, a person who gets saved stops poisoning and abusing their body with sinful habits and practices. Now, when you get saved, you're going to stop that stuff. You ain't going to keep smoking pot and popping pills and drinking whiskey and beer and smoking cigarettes. You get saved, you're going to stop that stuff. Yeah, I do too. I'm way into this, man. I'll tell you what, I've watched it all through the years. And the people who don't... Now, I know those habits are deep ingrained, buddy, I know. And sometimes it takes a while to beat them. But if whoever I have seen through my life that don't beat them doesn't make it. They never make it. They never have no victory in their life. They never come out. They may drag along, come to church once a week or something forever, but they don't. But they never have any real victory in their life. Most of them just quit, flat out quit, drop out, and go back and do seven times worse than what they did before. When that stops, the body begins to clean itself out and heal from the abuse that it's had. You staying with me?
Yep.
Somebody gets saved, they're going to quit all that stuff that was destroying their body.
Yep.
And then it'll start recovering. And there's even more than that. A healthy soul will promote a healthy body. Pain's easier to bear if the soul is happy and satisfied. Now, you know that's right.
Yeah.
I've seen people suffering terribly, but they've got a comfort within that carries them through it and makes it bearable for them. I can name you some names of people I know who've suffered for a long time with pain. Pain makes it easier to bear if the soul's happy and and satisfied. The life of the Spirit of God in us makes our body a different place to live. He said it quick. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He'll quicken your mortal body.
Right.
There'll be a change.
Amen. Sure.
I've read about people all through the years, you know, and I'm talking about way back there, in history. I'm not talking about just people I've known in my life, but I've seen that too. But I've seen people whose health, and read about them, whose health was restored when they were really sickly before. Got saved, God worked on their body. There's a difference in their body. The Spirit of God gives strength when we can't muster it from ourselves. Now, believe me, that's right. I'm talking about physical strength. We talk about a second wind and all of that, but God can just keep you going. How in the world do you think Moses fasted 40 days and all of that, and then turned right around and another 40 days back to back? How do you think he did that and lived? You can't do that. You know, all these people that go on starvation strikes and all of that, they die.
Yeah.
After 40 days, between 40 and 60 days, they die. That's it. You can't do that. Well, Moses did it. How did he do that? How was it that Elijah, the angels fed him, and it sustained him for all that time? He went in the strength of that, I believe, 40 days. See, God can do that. And He can give you strength, physical strength, beyond what would be possible otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's how people have survived a lot of these POW camps and stuff like that. Really? They really have. You've all listened to Darlene Rose in that story. It's unbelievable. How could you live through that? Well, God, that's how. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He will quicken your mortal bodies. I mean, you're able to do exceeding, you know, abundantly above what you think. Yeah. Yes, you are. You know, it's not just what, it's the life of faith is not a life of seeing and sight. You know, we live by faith, not by sight. That's the way, I mean, you can apply that to the physical body too. A lot of people think they're going to die, and they don't die. They're not about to die. Just feels like it. May look like it to everybody else too. But God makes the difference. He'll quicken your mortal body. Because God's Spirit lives in this body, it can endure and survive things that would bring death on a normal person. I believe that's right. Now, I know we're not all supermen, and it doesn't, you know, this is no recipe for, you know, don't make us the Incredible Hulk or anything like that. It ain't like that at all. But it's just that you need to realize that your body is the Lord's. That your body belongs to the Lord. Even the bodies of lost people belong to the Lord. They're operating like with stolen property. That's right. And the Bible teaches that. It's not theirs. All this deal about it's my body. No, it's not, ma'am. You're abusing somebody else's property. God made that. And God can say when it ends. And God gave it life, not you. You're just living in it. It's a tent you're living in. And so the Spirit of God living in us, it makes a difference. Now the most important thing about this whole matter is that the vessel which was once used for evil is now in the service of righteousness. I mean, that's one of the main teachings here in Romans. And that's, you know, these members, they were yielded as servants to sin. But now they're yielded as servants unto righteousness. Not to sin now. Your body, your members, your mortal body, this thing that's going to die, it is yielded to God. What was once the means of continuing or committing our sin is now the means of working righteousness. The same mouth you used to cuss with, you used to praise the Lord with and to tell others about the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And to pray to the Lord with. What was used to work death is now used to work life. See, we're going to be rewarded according to our works. So what we do, whatever we do it in this body. Now that's different than doing it in the flesh. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever be able to explain that clear enough for everybody to get a hold of it. But if you ever get a hold of that, it's being in the flesh is not being in this body. Because the verse before this said you're not in the flesh. That doesn't mean you're not in the body. You're very much in the body. But you're not living in the flesh. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, in your body. And that changes everything. And so what you used to use for in order to sin, this was your vehicle, your means of experiencing and committing sin. Your eyes, your ears, your hands, your mouth, your body. Now it's yielded to God. For the master's use. It's a vessel. It's a vessel. That's all it is. The body is dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness. Is the body different in itself? No. But it benefits from the Spirit that lives in that body. Sure does. And the Spirit that lives in that body is in control instead of that old man that everybody seems to think they still have. What in the world is that? How can you think that? How could anybody read this Bible and believe that? That there's two dogs fighting in there. One of them dogs is the Holy Spirit of God. And the other dog is you, your old nature that's still alive. Totally, absolutely contradicts, bald face contradicts the Word of God. I don't believe it that way. It's not true. It's just not that way. You're born again, the Spirit of God moves into your body. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost of God. That old man is crucified with Christ. You mortify your members which are on earth. And And then this, your body is quickened. That's what we just read. He'll quicken your mortal body. Made alive. We're alive from the dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Now we're alive unto God. Simple. It's just the way it is. You've got to understand things right. And this is right. This is a way to understand it where you can see that it works. This is the way it works. You understand this? You experience that? This is your experience. This is what you have experienced. Then you can be happy in the Lord.
Amen.
You can lay your head down tonight and rest in peace.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Not have nightmares and all of that. Yeah. God's good. I'm glad it's this way. I'm glad I know that it's this way. I'm glad, thank the Lord, that I didn't live my life in that confusion that most everybody seems to be in with all of that. They don't have any peace. They don't have any answers. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to tell anybody. They don't know how to deal with anybody that said they got saved, but they're still living in sin. They just don't know what to do with it. I mean, they just don't understand how, you know, well, they must be saved. So you can be saved and live in sin for 40 years. And so they don't know what. So it means nothing. It just becomes meaningless. And there's no power in it at all. And the world mocks at it and scoffs at it. I want you to know it didn't used to be this way. The gospel used to be preached. And sinners used to be called to account. And they come to church, the preacher preached. And put them in a corner and made them see what they were in the light of the law of God. Mm-hmm. And people got saved.
Yes.
And they understood that when you got saved, you changed. And you quit living in sin.
Amen.
And you started living for God. And you quit doing evil and you started doing right. And you quit being dirty and you started being clean.
Yes.
And you had some dignity and respect and honor about you instead of just base fellows of the lewd fellows of the baser sort. Oh well. Well, let's stand. I'll quit. Lord, thank you for the word of God. It's wonderful to know that this is the way it is. It's so plain in the scriptures. This doesn't leave me with a doubt in my mind about how it is. And it's wonderful to experience it in our life. And to know these things are true. Please help everybody to hide these things in their heart and remember them. Pray to help them to understand. And to seek after God and stay in the right path. Lord, help us as we go home now. Bless the word to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen.